Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, delightful Thursday in the St. Louis metro area. If only, Pastor Hendrick, it were this nice all the time, it would be just like Perryville.
Is this nice? I hear it's supposed to get up to 85 today.
Well, I assume it's always nicer in Perry County.
Well, that's farther south. It gets warm. See, I'm a cool weather guy.
You are?
Yes, I'm from Texas.
No way. That's not a cool weather state.
I know.
That is not a cool weather state.
And as I remind people, I'm from Texas. I'm no longer there.
Well, like I said yesterday, you're kind of like...
Ich bin hier.
Yeah, you're like the Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man.
To some degree.
Yep. Pastor Tom Hendrick, you know him, you love him. He serves at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri.
Perry County, the manger of the Missouri Synod.
Manger of the Missouri Synod. Yep. I can almost smell the apple butter.
You got it. Coming up. You know,
head south on 55, and when you smell the apple butter.
Saturday, October 12, I think it is.
Really?
Is that right?
That's coming up quick.
Yes, 9 o'clock in the morning. If you come there, you will see me live and in person giving the opening devotion.
Wow. Well, as they might be prone to say down there in Perry County, y'all come running.
And then stop real quickly. Don't keep going.
Just watch out for the guy in front of you. Oh, my goodness. I see you brought your dear lady wife with you. How
finally,
are you?
Finally, yeah. I didn't have her last time and the time before.
Well, I'm glad to see you two have made up.
Well, that's true, yeah. our calendars finally coincided.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right, let's get this out of the way.
As a word of compliment to Sally,
yes.
I don't know if you're aware, she has a very good position with the Missouri District LWML, Lutheran Women's Missionary League. She is the vice president for mission... For what?
Gospel outreach.
Pull
the mic in front of you, Sally, because you know you're always in the background. Come to the foreground for a moment.
Yeah, let her tell you a little bit about this. This is very good.
Go right ahead.
Very good.
Well, I'm the vice president of gospel outreach for the Missouri District LWML, which means that I get to receive the mission grant proposals that come in with my committee. I choose what goes on the ballot.
Wow.
And then after they've been chosen at convention, I get to deliver the MITE monies, mission grant money, to the different people who were awarded the grants.
Well, if I recall, about this time last year, we were doing a program and someone came to the old place and you actually did that.
There was
a presentation, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I do remember things in spite of what people tell me.
But now Sally is very humble. She's not telling you the rest of the story.
What's your job?
She has recently been appointed. To a position, and they don't like to use the word national, but the national level Lutheran Women's Missionary League.
Really?
Working on mission grants committee for that. I'm proud of her.
Well, we all are.
Well, good.
You know, and grateful to God that folks are willing to step up and serve, you know, especially at a time when that's not really popular.
That's true. You know, that's true.
I was an elder for 12 years in my congregation, which taught me to never say yes again. But you learn these things. Well, Godspeed your work, Sally.
Thank you.
Do well prosper richly as God so directs the work that you do.
To God be the glory.
Yeah, she does beautifully. I'm just very proud of her.
Yep. All right, stop gushing.
Okay, I'm stopped.
You're making the rest of us husbands look bad.
I'm going to take her out to lunch today.
Hey, all right, that's Crusoe's.
Do you know Crusoe's?
I don't know, but I bet you've got a Groupon.
It's a birthday coupon where I get my meal free and only have to pay for hers.
Wow.
See, I had a birthday this past Friday.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Say happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday
to
me.
Thank you. No. Wait a minute.
I always do what pastors tell me. I never question
Say
anything.
Say happy birthday, Pastor Hendrick.
Happy birthday, Pastor Hendrick.
There you go. That's
65
good.
65 young, right?
You didn't need to advertise that.
Why? You were crowing about it when you came into the studio.
Well, that's true.
You were. Yep. That's a milestone.
It is.
That's a big one. You're now officially retirement age,
well,
at least as far
true.
As the government goes.
Right.
Take advantage of it while you can.
Well, we're positioning ourselves.
I'll let that go because a lot of us are being positioned these days and we don't want to get into that either.
Would you like me to interview you this morning and let's elaborate on that?
This is not the Studio A program. We'll save that for the weekend. This is the Bible study. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. You get the 9-11 text
today. Oh, my
today.
Goodness. You know what? What's with these short texts? I went and looked on your website last night and noticed that the last so many have been just two or three verses each. What's going on here?
I don't like to work a lot.
Okay. I'm with you.
I figure the fewer the verses, the less I have to do.
Yeah, but I see you've got your list of questions there.
And it's pointless, isn't it?
And you probably came up, well, no, because this is your show.
I know.
So you're going to lead me with those questions today.
Well, I'll read the text and we'll go wherever we go as the Spirit leads us this morning. Let's start with prayer, Pastor.
Let's do it. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us this day as we once again read, mark, study, learn, and take to heart your holy word. As we do so, build up our faith in Jesus Christ and give us an ever-growing commitment to serve you by serving one another. Lord, give your blessings to Roland, to others in this radio station, to the station itself, as it seeks to spread the good news about Jesus into our local community and points beyond. Bless us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. If you happen to be in one of those points beyond, you can reach us at 1-800-730-2727. A little closer to home in the St. Louis metro area, 821-0850. Email works great from all parts, hither and yon, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go, Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And that is the text.
And Roland, did you notice something as you read that text?
I noticed a lot of things.
Did you notice that I did not interrupt at all?
No, because it was so short, I didn't give you time.
Yeah, but boy, right out of the chute, the first word I wanted to interrupt, but no, I remained silent. I remained placid. I was a
All you're doing is setting me up for the next time you're here.
Is that it? When's that going to be?
About a month from now, I think. Well, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Can you tell I've got a distinctly Southern flavor today in celebration of both Perry County, south of St. Louis, and
Texas.
Right.
But we don't want to say a lot about Texas because, sadly, I have ruffled some feathers in various places as I continue to tout
Texas.
Don't
worry about it. See, you and Texas are like me and Thuringen.
Right.
Thuringen is one of the German states.
Yes.
In the Lutheran Church, all we hear about are Saxons and Franconians.
Oh.
Do you know where most of the events of the Reformation took place?
Thuringen. Really?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff.
You know, is that in our text for today?
You know, little places like Jena. Places like that. So as a Thuringer, mm-hmm. I sympathize.
And so we
Because I bring that up and all the Saxons look at me cross-eyed.
Well, and we can correlate that to where did most of the history of America occur? Texas.
Oh, really?
Didn't it?
Oh, I mean, Massachusetts and Vermont, places like that really don't matter.
No, those are just suburbs of Texas.
Okay. We all may be Texans one day. Who knows? All right, now, something jumped out at you in this text, and I bet it's the very first word.
Exactly.
You.
And here is where we know that Paul was truly a Texan, or a Southerner at least.
Doesn't say y'all.
No, but that's the correct. See, now, when we go back to the Greek, the original Greek, what we discover is a plural word there.
So it's all y'all.
It's all y'all.
You've
That's
talked
right.
about that before. I remember.
And that is very important with this text.
Why?
Paul is addressing this message to a large group of people, not just a select few, not just a select one. He is not being exclusive. He's being inclusive with this text. He wants both believers and unbelievers to hear this message because that's the crux of this message in these three powerful verses.
So Paul, as a previous president said, is a uniter, not a divider?
He is a uniter, but in his efforts to unite, as Jesus himself said about himself, he ends up dividing. But it's a correct dividing. It's a dividing between that which is godly and that which is of Satan. And he gets into that in here with the Spirit of God that's in you versus your flesh, which we'll get into later on because I know one of your questions points us there.
You looked ahead, didn't you?
I tried. Yeah. Someday I'll tell you my joke about ahead. Okay. Not today.
All right. Well, tell me about, you know, Paul has talked a little bit about assurance.
Sure.
All right, blessed assurance, as the old hymn goes. But how do I know? What assurance do I have that me, myself, I am actually belong? Do I belong to Christ? How do I know? How can I tell?
Oh, boy. Good question. There are a number of ways, but let's get right down to the point of the matter. Have you been baptized?
Oh, yeah, but I don't remember that.
In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, that's what the certificate says, yeah.
With water having been applied in some fashion,
absolutely.
Doesn't matter how.
Absolutely.
Go back to your baptism. Go back to your baptism and realize not I was baptized, but I am baptized. It is an occurrence with ongoing significance.
So I don't need to have said some sort of special prayer or walked an aisle or done some great sacrificial act.
Or made some grand decision or devoted your life to whomever or whatever.
So there's nothing I need to do.
You got it. And we're finished. That's it for the text.
Well, let's go to lunch.
Let's do it. Now, why is this so important, Roland? And I'm asking this somewhat rhetorically. Because too often today, and not just today, it's been happening throughout the ages, people add to. In my adult Bible class on Sunday morning, we've just been hammering home the distinction between, okay, now I'm having a senior moment here.
Well, tradition. You are 65 now. That's right.
That's true. Yeah, so I've got a reason for it. Tradition. Divinely ordained tradition versus man-made tradition. And too much has been occurring in the church that is man-made tradition, but it's being passed off as, you got to do this to be a true Christian, or dare I say, a true Lutheran. Here we're getting into some areas where Paul himself says, you know, I was the greatest of the Pharisees. He gave his credentials and all, and he said, but I've come to realize that's not what's important. And Paul spoke heavily, and he does it in a manner of speaking in these verses, against legalism. Let's define legalism. Legalism is not simply imposing rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are good to keep form and order and prevent chaos. But when you impose rules and regulations aside from what God has stated for the purpose of gaining eternal life. Now that's legalism. That's legalism.
Earning merit or favor with
exactly
God.
Exactly right. And in a very subtle way, many Christian groups today are doing that, in my opinion, dare I say, innocently. They don't realize they're doing it. They've been sucked into this. And you alluded to one while ago. You got to make this decision for Christ. You got to walk the aisle.
You got to speak in tongues.
You got to do this, that, or the other.
Got to wave your arms.
Like this?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure all your listening audience saw that right there.
Yes.
Right away, we have this distinction between what is fleshly and what is spiritual, what is of the Spirit of God. You, however, plural, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, as we get to this word spirit, pneuma, we get pneumatic from it in our English language. We got a problem here because the same word in these verses and elsewhere is used to refer either to the Holy Spirit or to your spirit, your spiritual life in you.
And there is some debate out there among the commentaries.
Oh, yeah. Now,
because it's not capitalized. See, that we're so much smarter than them. We've learned to capitalize it.
Well, and now I'm looking at the ESV, the John Lukumsky
officially
authorized
sanctioned,
version, okay? I can say that because he's a classmate of mine, okay?
He was here Tuesday.
I heard him.
With the cheery news, he looked at me and goes right off the bat, you're going to die. Thank you.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I was hoping to get past Wednesday without hearing that.
Are you dead?
Not yet.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Really? Then I can run around and do whatever I want.
You are dead to your trespasses and sins through your baptism, which makes you alive in Christ. So celebrate what he told you. Yeah, be dead.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment.
Okay. So you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. The ESV capitalized it. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, there's where the debate comes in. Should that first spirit be capitalized or not? As I did the research, I'm wondering, maybe it shouldn't.
Why is
that? Maybe it shouldn't.
Make your case, sir.
Okay. We're contrasting the personal flesh, and if we're going to contrast it, then we got to contrast the personal spirit.
Oh.
Ergo, therefore,
that's a good observation.
It should be a lowercase s, but it finds its substance, its application, its meaning in the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So, I have now died to my flesh through my baptism. I am now spiritual because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in my heart and my life in baptism, and now I'm getting ahead of myself on these verses, along with the Son and the Father. We have an indwelling that is crowding out the devil. Now we are spiritual, not fleshly. Ah, you might say, but I keep sinning day in and day out. Yes, you do, my good friend, because we still have this house of flesh, which is sinful and unclean. But we already have the rest of the story, the final victory. And the final victory is that victory in Jesus Christ, who has defeated Satan, sin, and death with his, ironically, his death. How can a person's death defeat death? Well, it's very simple. You go back to the Old Testament. And what did God give the Israelites in the Old Testament? Sacrificial rules and regulations. And they were blood sacrifices, always pointing forward to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm pointing outside there. There's no one out there, is there?
Okay. Just Walter.
Oh, okay, I'll point to him then. And so what we find is in the death of Christ, Satan and death have been defeated because he's the ultimate blood sacrifice. And that's where we get into this concern here. You're not in the flesh anymore. You're now in the Spirit. You are now spiritual. If in fact, oh, by the way, how many times in this reading does the word if occur? I just counted them. Three.
Okay.
Three. The Greek word for how we translate if could probably in these cases be better translated since or because. So
for example, it would be, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit,
because in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Wow. Now, doesn't that make a little better?
Makes it more certain.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it ought to be. It ought to be. So then the next if, but if or since Christ is in you, although the body is dead, we just mentioned that,
right.
We continue to struggle with sin. Although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit, now your spirit is alive. It's life because of righteousness. And then we come to the third if. Because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from... Now, this is the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, the Nicene Creed. We have a Latin word that captures this element, filioque. Filioque, it means the Father, the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, not from the Father or from the Son, but from the Father and the Son. Very important heretical teaching that was going on at that time, that the Holy Spirit...
Well, still does, because that's one of the divisions between the Eastern Orthodox Church and
exactly.
Other Christians.
Exactly, yes. And so the composers of the Nicene Creed at that Council of Nicaea made sure to get that item in there.
Isn't this one of the texts they used?
Absolutely.
In dealing with that?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It's one of the proof texts.
Also in hammering out the Trinity as well.
You got it. You know, the Trinity has always been a mystery, and it still is to us. Yeah, when I try to teach the Trinity to my junior confirmands, I tell them right off the bat. In fact, I ask them, do you understand? You know, I give them the triangle and the three. Do you understand this? Oh, yeah, we do. I said, good, because I don't. You know, now, how about y'all helping me understand it? And they look at me quizzically like, well, you're the pastor. You ought to understand this. Well, what I can do at most is help give a glimpse into this, which this mysterious thing, which has been revealed to us, but do we understand it? Which brings us to another very important point. By grace, we are saved through understanding, knowledge, reason, and all those things, right?
Wait a minute. That doesn't sound quite right.
What do you mean?
Well, where does this faith thing come in?
What faith?
Grace through faith.
Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever understandeth everything about him shall be saved? Isn't that correct?
Sounds practical, but I don't think it works.
Really? I have a great, great class on Friday afternoon at my church called the Berean Bible Class. And there's a lady in there when I pull this, and I do it almost every week just to drive home this faith thing. And every time I say it, she looks at me and she says, Pastor Hendrick, you're wrong again. You're wrong again. No, we are not required to understand all. We can't. We grasp it by faith that the Holy Spirit has given us. It's something we believe. If we were required to understand everything, we would be lost. And yet, guess what? One of the three ways of interpreting the Bible is reason, human understanding, feelings, emotions, which then makes the Bible a slave to the person instead of the person a slave to Scripture. So the third if, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that is the Father, dwells in you, he, the Father who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, we're finished. Let's close it up and go eat lunch.
Well, you can't. We've got 2 minutes till the break. At least we have to make it to the break.
Oh, do we?
That's right.
Who imposed that rule?
Well, I don't know. I've got these other little pesky questions that I've put together here.
I've noted. I've been watching, and you haven't marked any of them off yet.
We haven't gotten any yet.
Okay, what can I say?
But then you strike something, and just a little bit of, dare I say, death talk for a moment.
And death talk is good talk, by the way.
It's important that we belong to Christ.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, we're told that we're supposed to die to self, live for Christ. We're all going to die one day, whether we like it or not, unless the good Lord comes back sometime before that happens.
Sure.
But if I'm not down to this, if I'm just not hip to this whole death thing, if I'm just not fond of dying, if I don't want to snuff it right now and go to heaven because I can't wait to be with Jesus, is there something wrong with me? Am I not in his possession?
Let me approach that first of all by asking the question, how many deaths are there in Scripture?
Well, now, if you just count the Canaanites, there's a bunch.
Now, remember, we're Trinitarian.
Right.
Okay, so how many deaths are there in Scripture? We're Trinitarian.
Uh-huh.
There are three. There are three. The three deaths are our fleshly death, our bodily death. There is spiritual death, that is denying Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then there is eternal death, that is separation from Jesus Christ in eternity after our physical death. Okay? So, as you asked that question about, and I forgot what the question was, what was it?
If I'm not fond of dying, if I'm not looking forward to it and I want to put it off as long as I can, is there something wrong with me?
No.
Am I not in possession of Christ?
You're a great Pauline scholar in that, because Paul even said, I'm eager to depart and be with Christ, but at the same time, I still want to live and do my work in this world. I have that feeling also. I'm eager to depart and be with Christ, to be in heaven. But you know what? I'm also enjoying the work of ministry and the opportunity to share Jesus with people and to continue doing that work. So on the one hand, I'm ready to die. On the other hand, I want to keep on living.
We'll have to talk a little bit more. You got me all for clank there. Death is a good thing. Well, go figure.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You can join us during the break. It's a great time to call in. Start getting lined up now. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. That's the email. Pastor Tom Hendrick from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. We'll be right back with more Bible study. Stick around.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family, and coming up this weekend, exploring the reasons why parents feel guilty, working through things that annoy you about your spouse, and encouragement for stressed-out moms. All of that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO.
In 1939, Lutherans started resettling people displaced by World War II. In 1960, we asked, who else can we help, and opened our service networks to refugees and migrants. As wars and conflicts create the need for asylum and refuge, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is still asking, who else can we help? Today, with partners, congregations, and volunteers, we're resettling refugees, reuniting families, and rekindling dreams. You can help. LIRS.org/volunteer.
On the next Joy, Beauty Out of Ashes, music that was begun just 2 days after the start of World War II, and music that uses the traditional American spiritual in much the same way Bach used the Lutheran chorale. This is Ron Clam. We'll explain and share some fascinating music with you this week on Joy.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor Tom Hendrick is here from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. We're in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. Can you believe it's been, oh gosh, it must be about 7 weeks now we've been in the book of Romans. We're only up to chapter 8.
Look at this.
I didn't push your button. I apologize.
And I want to compliment you, Roland, that you're not just skimming Romans. Romans is the heart and soul of Christian doctrine. And I appreciate that you're taking it slow, easy, and in-depth. Compliments to you for that.
Well, thank you. It's a struggle because there are some texts, the text that we started with on Monday, we could have done that text all week long.
Sure.
And
sure.
Still not have plumbed deep enough to get full understanding of it. But the text we have today, as you rightly point out, it takes a little bit of discernment because there might be better words used than in some of the translations.
Right.
I do like that that you point out the word if maybe is better with the word because.
Or since, S-I-N-C-E,
right.
Yes.
That works well, but I'm just still not hip to this death thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're telling me death is a good, look around, Pastor. We do everything human. Have you ever been to the doctor?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's staving off death. Last time you got sick, you didn't lay there and go, can't wait.
It's interesting
Jesus, I'm coming.
I have a...
That was Fred Sanford, wasn't it? No, that was Elizabeth, I'm coming. That's right. No, sorry.
I have a grandniece-in-law, I hope I said all that correctly, who is now a medical doctor.
Oh, good.
My daughter has two classmates who are medical doctors. I enjoy needling them. I tell them, guess what? You are going to have a 100% mortality rate. Every one of your patients is going to die. Oh, and they look at me like, oh, you know, wait a minute. I'm devoted to helping them live and all that. I say, now, here's the issue. Your job is not to keep them from dying. Your job is to give them the healthiest, best life they can have while they're living. Now, in our field of theology, of spiritual life giving, our job is to equip people to die, because after death, whether people admit it or not, whether they want to own up to it or not, there's going to be an eternal life, either in heaven or in hell. Our job is to prepare people to meet Jesus. How's that for some good reform terminology there? Okay, to meet Jesus at the pearly gate, who will then say, why should I let you in here? And my answer is going to be, because of you.
Hmm.
And he's going to look at me and say, what do you mean? And I'm going to say, oh, dear Jesus, you know what I mean. I don't have to explain it to you. I'm on your coattails, fella. Okay?
Yeah.
But now here's the problem. Then I'm going to say, however, I don't know if really I deserve to come in here, because I remember all those sins I did, all the thoughts, words, deeds, etc. And, you know, Lord, maybe you need to rethink this. And he's going to look at me and say, huh? What sins? Well, gee, you're all knowing. You remember the thing. And he said, no, I don't recall any of those. Why not? Because he has borne them all. All of my sins, your sins, the sins of everybody, even people who deny him, who hate him. He carried their sins to Calvary's cross, and there he left them. We no longer own our sins. He has taken them from us, and in their place he has given us his righteousness. So, death, we have died to sin in our baptism, and because of our death to sin, we strive by the power of the Holy Spirit to live the righteous life that God desires us to live, but we fail miserably, knowing that someday we will shed this sinful shell and be reunited in a glorified body with Jesus.
So when you belong to Christ, remember the old American Express ad? They may still use this tagline. Membership has its privileges.
Yes. Yes. And what is the privilege that we have belonging to Christ?
I've got a list of four things.
Oh.
And I bet you'll add to it.
Really?
Yeah.
What are your four things?
Reconciliation.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, what does reconciliation mean? We need to define that term. Big term. It means being reunited. We were broken apart, which is also peace in the Old Testament, shalom. In the New Testament, eirene, those Hebrew and Greek words, it means to come back together. Something that's been broken apart.
Yeah,
okay.
In accounting, things have been brought to balance.
Sure.
Reconciliation. Sure. Number two, forgiveness.
Okay. What's so important about forgiveness? Why do I need to be forgiven?
Well, you don't, but I do.
Oh, you mean I don't?
Well, you're a pastor.
Oh,
Oh my goodness.
Let's see.
I can just barely see Sally over the screen. Here, right?
I can't believe you asked him that.
No, the better answer is because I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
But we'll let that one go also. You know, what the Apostle Paul, who was perhaps one of the greatest preachers ever, chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lived that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. Yeah, it's that connection.
Number three, fellowship.
Fellowship. Right. Koinonia, togetherness in the faith, in the life of Jesus Christ, in the church, the body of Christ, which we celebrate every time that we participate properly, and I throw that adverb in so frequently, every time we properly partake of Holy Communion, okay, people look at me and say, you mean I've got to dress correctly or walk correctly or whatever? No. It means two things. Number one, truly admit that you're sinful and unclean. Number two, trust Jesus for forgiveness. It's that simple. It's that simple. Confession and absolution. Number four?
Eternal life.
Oh, wait a minute. Now you're redundant.
Am I?
Yeah, you said, what are the four points that illustrate life or some such thing?
No, I said the four point membership has its privileges. When you belong to Christ, these are the benefits that you receive.
Ah, okay.
Your membership has its privileges.
And the fourth one wraps them all up in the one word, life.
Did I miss anything?
No. No.
Wow.
But here's the thing.
Look what can happen when you pay attention.
But you're a very astute man, Roland. You are very scripturally astute, knowledgeable, and we praise God for that. Otherwise, you shouldn't be doing this program.
Wow.
But you ought to be doing this program because you are in the Word, and the Word is what drives it. Life. It's all about life. Now, when we talk about Jesus Christ, just to illustrate this a little more, what are the two key events in the life of Christ? Birth and resurrection. And what ties the two together? Life. Christ received human physical life at his birth, through his conception and birth, and he came back to life in his resurrection, whereby he sealed Satan's fate. And that's life. See, Satan wants death. By the way, scripturally speaking, life is unity with God. Death is separation from God. So when we talk about eternal death, we're talking about being separated from God. when we're talking about eternal life, we talk about being united with God.
And that's why these things are so hard to wrap your head around sometimes, because if you are in Christ...
Since you are in Christ,
thank you. I'm just going by the ESV.
Sure, sure.
Since you are, because you are in Christ, mm-hmm. when you die, you're actually more alive than now.
Oh, absolutely. And why is that?
Now, people are going, what did he just say?
But it's you've said a ton of truth there. Because we no longer have that sin element that's strangling us, that's harassing us, that's dogging us all over the place. We are free as God originally created Adam and Eve. He created them in perfect harmony with him, pure, holy. And they brought this death stuff on us through sinning. Let's talk about that just for a brief moment.
Let's do that.
Flip Wilson, one of your best loved comedians from years ago,
yeah.
coined the phrase, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Bad theology, wrong theology. The devil does not have the power to make us sin. What the devil does is to lure us into sinning, tempts us into sinning. So what we find through Christ is the power to resist the devil, to shun him and to not sin. Because the devil has been defeated by Christ, now he works overtime to tempt us, to lure us into sin. And when in our life does the devil work the hardest? As we approach death. The devil knows that he's got to get in that last shot or else he's going to lose us. But through Christ, because we are in Christ, because we are baptized, the devil is defeated.
This may be, I guess, a little bit of a kind of a theological wonky question, kind of a technical question, but I think it's worth asking, and that is, you've done a very good job of exposing, demonstrating that we are sinners, sinful flesh.
Okay.
All right. What comes out of my heart?
Sin.
Yeah. All right.
It's sin stained.
How does something holy indwell something sinful?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the baptism that Christ ordained. By the way, interesting here, New Testament baptism, let me back up. Water baptism was already present in the Old Testament. If you read in Leviticus how the priests had to prepare themselves to enter the Holy of Holies to do their priestly work, they had to go through this. They had a cauldron, a brass cauldron outside the door with water in it, and they had to touch themselves at various places. They didn't immerse. They didn't pour it on them. They applied water in a ritualistic cleansing process to prepare them to serve before God as holy. Not that they didn't sin, but they were washed clean. Our baptism does that. To answer your question, how can this sinful heart be indwelled by holiness? Because the Holy Spirit has cleansed it through baptism, and he continues this cleansing through the ongoing reading, hearing, marking, grasping God's word. Which is why people, listeners out there, and I hope there are a lot of lay listeners as well as pastors and others, be in the Word daily. Don't just do a weekly snack on Sunday, although that's good. I'm not denying that. Be in a Bible study ongoingly. Don't trust that since you went through catechetical instruction and you were confirmed that everything is good now. Well, it is, but it's got to be renewed on a daily basis.
It's not like your driver's license. You take the test once and you're done.
And you're done. You're in like Flint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roland, interesting. I've just been going through on my computer here. I have all sorts of version translations of the Bible. And it's interesting to note, none of them captures that since or because translation of the Greek word. All of them use the word if. And that's sad. That's sad. Again, I think there is a great case that can be made for that Greek word being translated since or because rather than if. If continues to give some doubt. you know, like, well, maybe I'm not, or maybe I am, you know, I'm not really certain. But we can be certain. We're certain in the proclamation of the word and the blessed gift of baptism. God has given us those elements so that we can rest secure in that which he reveals to us in the scriptures.
Let's grab some phone calls. Always fun during the program. Join us at 821-0850 in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727, or try the email kfuo@kfuo.org. Herman, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Pastor Hendricks, taking from your focus on the atonement of Jesus Christ and his work here on earth, and also realizing, jumping ahead to St. Michael and All Angels Day, it is
good.
The enthronement of Christ on in the heavenlies, on the throne of heaven, where the accuser Satan is thrown out because of his blood atonement and can no longer accuse us. That's one reason why we need to celebrate the ascension.
Oh, and, wonderful. Good. Yes.
That's an important thing, even though it comes on Thursdays and a lot of people don't get to recognize it that way. But in addition to that, just make note that the Jehovah's Witnesses' principal error is that they reduce Jesus to a created angel,
correct,
Michael or such, and deny his Godhead out of the Holy Trinity of eternity.
Yeah, and Herman, I want to go back to a word you used at the very beginning, atonement. Many people don't grasp that. They hear it, but they don't grasp it. And the definition of it is in the word itself, at-one-ment. Through Christ, we are at one with God. He is our atoning sacrifice that has brought us back into relationship with God, from whom we separated ourselves through sin. Wonderful word to use, and I really compliment you for using it.
Well, I thank you for bringing up the subject, and you and your wife have an enjoyable lunch today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman. Good to hear from you. All right, let's talk some serious theology here.
By the way,
yes, sir.
I'm just looking on my computer here at the Greek, the original Greek. When it talks about being in the flesh, it's an interesting word, sarx.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about this physical stuff that I'm pinching right here in front of you.
Stop pinching me.
Okay, I'll stop. It hurts. There's another word, soma, which refers to the body as a whole, okay? Now, when we see that word sarx, that's a tip-off about our old Adam in us, our fleshliness that is still suffering from the effects of original sin. But our flesh will be glorified in the resurrection, and it will be like Adam and Eve when they were created by God, holy, undefiled.
This is one of these theological words that needs a little bit of discussion, but what are the marks of the indwelling spirit?
Good question. Excuse me. One of the things I ask my students frequently is, how do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Oh, goodness. You know, they roll their eyes. And I said, well, let me tell you. Number one, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, yes, I do. There's evidence. No one can confess Jesus Christ as Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark Hawkinson said that yesterday when I happened to be listening to
that's
that.
That's
right.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's true. There is a mark of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Number two, do you confess that you're a sinner, that you're sinful and unclean?
Oh, yes.
There's another mark of the Holy Spirit in you. If the Holy Spirit did not dwell within you, you would deny the fact that you're a sinful human being. Number three, do you have the certain assurance of eternal life with God after you die? By the way, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, the New Testament and the Old Testament, the English word hope is used there. But it's not the flimsy hope that we often think about, like I desire or I dream about something. No, it is certain sureness of what is going to happen based on the promise of God given us and fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. That's the other mark of the Holy Spirit. I know that when my eyelids close in death, my soul will be with Jesus in heaven. and that when the resurrection comes, my soul and body will be reunited, and I will return to be with Jesus in heaven. Mark of the Holy Spirit. Is there something I'm missing?
No.
You've got a great list of notes
there. It's just that some people might say that marks of the Holy Spirit indwelling you might be something like a burning in the bosom, or some ecstatic utterances like we talked about, or feeling these electrical feelings, or speaking in tongues, which I think all kind of indicate to me you probably ought to call 911. There's something wrong with you. If you get that electrical feeling all over, you may be touching a live wire.
And I know that you noticed this, but I want to make this point to our listeners. As I was going through that list of marks of the Holy Spirit, none of them had anything to do intrinsically with I, me, my. They all had to do with what happens on the outside to us by God.
So what does the Spirit do?
Well,
I mean, here again, I have one of my lists. You want to hear my list?
Sure.
All right. Excuse me. It gives life.
What kind of life? I'm already alive.
Yeah.
So what kind of life does the Spirit give me?
Genuine life.
And that genuine life is?
Eternal.
Okay, but I'm living in the present now. I don't have eternal life
now,
do I?
Well, I didn't say he gives paradox, did I? I said he gives life.
Wait a minute, who's interviewing who this morning,
I don't know. I lose control so easily. Here.
Now, I made a wrong statement that you didn't even catch. I said that we don't have eternal life now. Yes, we do.
We do.
We already have it, but the realization of it will come after death.
Well, you see, it was all that death talk earlier.
There you go.
Because
there
I had that in my head.
Now, the what I'm driving at
here... I mean, for the moment of conception, we are eternal beings, whether we like it or not.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I'm driving at about this life talk that you have now given us is that true life is life with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith. Trust, belief, confidence, all those synonyms. Hmm. Let's go on with your list.
Well, I have testifies.
What does that mean?
Well, gives evidence.
Good, good. Witnesses testify. That's right. They give evidence from what they know and have seen.
Two things. Well, maybe more, but at least two for this discussion. Both to the veracity of Christ.
Veracity, what does that mean?
The truth.
Okay, the truth that Jesus Christ is not just a fairy tale.
Facts of Christ. But also it testifies, it prods, it pokes, it annoys me about my sin.
Why should it do that?
Oh, I don't know. You guys like to talk about repentance and stuff.
Okay, and what's the purpose of repentance? It's the means by which the Holy Spirit brings us from death to life. Yeah. I confess my sins by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mourn my sins by the power of the Holy Spirit. I admit my sins. I recognize sin as sin. I cling to Jesus Christ as the sin bearer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I now live in a life of efforts to correct my sins and not do them. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Gee, now, what was the common thing to all five of those? By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Comforts. Now that, we all know that. The comforter, the paraclete.
Sure. Yeah. And what's so important about that? We live in a life that's filled with trials, tribulations, heartaches, despair. Some of them we bring on ourselves. Others are imposed on us. And we would go crazy and insane if we didn't have some source of sure comfort. What the world offers is a flimsy comfort, a comfort that's conditional, a comfort that might be, might not be. You know, it all depends on how you live your life. What God gives us, the Holy Spirit, is a comfort that says, I am your comforter, and your comfort comes from what I'm giving you. Again, I go back to our baptism, and what did he give us there? Forgiveness, life, and salvation.
The Holy Spirit bids.
Ooh. You mean he's at an auction?
Well, he could be.
He's bidding on something?
Well, I think it's the old word bid.
The old word bid.
Yeah. As in when Isaiah bids us to come and buy without money.
So in other words, he invites us. He lures us in. Now, remember, we talked about luring by the devil, who is attempting to lure us out of relationship with Jesus, but the Spirit is luring us into relationship with Jesus. He is bidding us. By the way, Jesus gave the greatest example of this when he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." An invitation. Now, there are some who have taken that to mean, okay, I have to do this mm-hmm. in order to get. What Jesus was saying is, it's already been done for you. I am bringing it to you. Take it and enjoy it. He gives us that which we are unable to give ourselves.
The Spirit also sets us apart.
From?
Well, it makes us holy.
So it sets us apart from?
Things sin. That are not.
Yeah, exactly. And there we get the distinction between life and death.
Death.
The Spirit sets us apart for life. Even though we have to travel through death, but the life is that unity with God through Jesus Christ in eternal glory called heaven. 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Trinitarian.
Time flies. We talked about bidding. He reconciles.
Oh, I like that word. We talked about it already.
Yeah.
Connects us
right.
with God.
Here's one I think people miss. Inspires.
Ooh. Okay. There are different dimensions of inspiration. Let's not confuse that with what the Spirit did with the writers of Scripture. He breathed into them the words, the not just the message, but the words to write, verbal inspiration, in order to record what God wants us to know, revealed to us in Holy Scripture. When I prepare a sermon, I am inspired, but not in that sense. I'm inspired by what I see in Holy Scripture, by what I read there. I study the text. I read other commentaries, and they inspire me the message that still comes from the verbal inspiration of Scripture that was given there. Does that make sense, what I just said?
It does.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay.
We're tracking.
But you're not going to lunch with me today,
no,
are you?
No, you're not buying. That's why. When you buy, I'll show up.
Okay.
Well, we've got a little bit less than 2 minutes here, Pastor Hendrick, and good lesson so far. Boy, I tell you, you guys make it worthwhile getting out of bed in the morning.
Oh, you're kind.
You
you're
really
kind.
Do. Why is it vital for us to understand, as best we're able, this indwelling Spirit? Why should we not just take it as a given, take it for granted?
And that's a very valid question, but I am going to change the word understand.
All right.
Why is it vital for us to discern the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? We've been playing with that word in our adult Bible class here recently also, to thoroughly grasp what has been revealed to us. Here's why it's vital. Because the Holy Spirit is vital to us for life. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the faith by means of which we trust Jesus, who is the reconciler, who is the sacrificial Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's vital for us to recognize the Holy Spirit because He proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together are worshiped and glorified. Don't ever, I'm not speaking this to you personally, but to everybody listening, don't ever reduce the Holy Spirit simply to the power of God or the majesty of God or the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who is united with the Father and the Son. He is the one who gives us that faith and that discerning ability to know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Think about that the next time you use the word, the name, Emmanuel.
God with us. God in human flesh, by the way.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
See, now that's a great way to wrap, because Pastor Tom Hendrick, where do you serve?
At Emmanuel Lutheran Church
in
Perryville, Missouri.
All the best. You and your wife enjoy a delightful afternoon here in St. Louis. Enjoy your lunch. Happy birthday again.
Thank you. Thank
Up next, Faith and Family. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.